Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast awards 2022, even though we're in 2023, but we're going to do the awards for the previous year, like we always do, Anton.
Indeed. I really love doing these because not only is it a chance to look back at all the great games we had in of the year, it's also just a nice point for us to touch base in between seasons and just have a good gaming chat.
We do love a good gaming chat, don't we? Oh, I miss them in these little gaps between them. I feel devoid of it. We have wonderful little chats in our Patreon Discord about it. But you know what? There's nothing like actually speaking to you guys about games. It makes me very happy.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Have you had a chance to play anything over the Christmas period, Anton?
There's been a myriad of retro content, which has been delightful, going back to the Commodore and Sinclair era, which has been nice, but mainly just Sonic Frontiers. It's been a great time.
Nice, good. Well, I look forward to talking about it on the main podcast. What about you, Al?
Oh, yeah, I've got too much. I'm going to store it up for the main podcast. I've been collating a list of games I've been playing over Christmas. I had much time to game. It has been a joyous and fantastic time in my gaming life. And I can't wait to wax lyrical about some of the games I've been playing and some that I've not bothered yet.
Love that. I've played a bunch of games as well, although it's tailed off this last couple of weeks. But one of the ones that we've talked about before and we're always wondering whether it was actually good is Part-Time UFO. And I picked that up in the sale and it's really addictive. It's HAL Laboratories, isn't it? It's a Kirby team, isn't it?
Yeah,
is that
it is,
right?
Yeah, indeed.
What I've found over the last couple of months is that I'm a massive Kirby fan. Like, I love the Kirby games, the old ones, the new ones, everything. But it's so funny because Part-Time UFO, it's just very addictive. It's a really fun, easy game to play. It's silly. So recommend it. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the awards and what we're going to do. As we do every year, I will introduce the category. Anton will give us the results and then we'll discuss it a little bit. So we're going to start off with the very last one on the questionnaire. So first of all, thank you to everybody who did submit their thoughts on our different categories. There's quite a few of them. We will go through them as we do, but I'll just do a quick overview. We've got listener's choice. We've got best new Nintendo Switch online game, best ongoing experience, biggest surprise of the year, favorite rumor of the year, best visual aesthetic, best narrative, best audio music, better with friends award, most anticipated game, best indie game, and game of the year. So,
can I just say, my biggest surprise of the year was how tall Anton was.
And
I met him for the first time in life this year, and he was bigger.
I've always said it. He's a tall, tall man, and it's deceiving. I mean, like myself, he deceives with how tall he is. So it's except I go the other way. People are like, "Whoa, you're short." All right, listener's choice time. This was a game, DLC, or hardware that came out in 2022, which you felt deserved more love than it was given. So you could pick anything. This was an empty box for people to make their choice. Anton, how are you going to do it this year? Is it a 3-2-1 kind of scenario?
What I'm thinking, we'll get your thoughts. What sort of stuff you're feeling from the nominees? And yeah, jump right into it. This is quite an exciting category. We introduced it last year for the 2021 awards. And, you know, it's really helped inform the direction we took the awards for this year. So what were the ones that jumped out to you this year as something that was just like, you know, this deserves a little bit of love? Last year, we had Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. That was the winner, the DLC part of that, the expansion pass. So not a category we had for, but people felt like it served a little bit more love. So what stuck out this year is a kind of Nintendo Switch oddity, which deserves some love.
For me, I'll go to Al first.
Oh no, don't do that. My mind's gone blank. I'm sitting here thinking, oh, you Mike's taking this first. Just gives me time to think.
I'm trying to think what it was I went for. I have a feeling, it's so funny because I filled this in 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think I can remember most categories, but the one I'm forgetting about is listener's choice. But I think it might be, it was one that was mentioned early on. So let me just see if I can remember. So it is one that is talked about, but it's one that I thought is better than maybe people had talked about enough. Oh, I think it might have been Shredder's Revenge I mentioned, actually. It might have been Shredder's Revenge, I think, just because I thought it was such a great game. Am I right, Anton? Is that in the list?
There's no list for listener's choice. It's entirely okay. Up to one to make up.
Right, that would be what, if you were asking me now, I say Shredder's Revenge because it was such a love letter to the 90s. It was a love letter to the Turtles. Al and I had a really fun couple of nights completing that game. I know, Al, I think you did it as well with your son, maybe, did you?
I did, yeah. I really enjoyed that, and he really enjoyed that. There's nothing like beating up foot soldiers. Just great.
Yeah. So do you remember what yours was now?
No, I can't remember. I'm just supposed to look through all the list. I vaguely remember coming up with something at the time that I put in and went, oh yeah, I like that answer. And I've forgotten what it was, and Anton hasn't shared the list. Mike and I have no idea what the answers are. He is the information king. He has it all hidden away behind his cloak and isn't sharing it.
Indeed. And with that note, let us jump into some of the runner-ups. We had a whole wide selection this year for the listener's choice. It could be a little bit of anything. For third place, we had Splatoon 3 Chill Season. In second place, we had Mario & Rabbids Sparks of Hope, which was, you know, quite a great title. It doesn't get enough love. Kind of honorary mention was just an answer that said, you know, I love these boys, which I appreciate. Very nice. But did not
very
win.
Sweet.
With 25% of the vote, winner of the Listener's Choice 2022 is Return to Monkey Island.
Good choice, then. I think. I mean, I've not played it, but I was so psyched about it coming out, and I intend to play it because I love that franchise.
I lied. That's what I chose. I've forgotten all about it, but that's exactly what I went for. Just again, similar to Turtles, same reasoning. It's a love letter to the 90s. It was a throwback. It was picking up where the first two games left off. Just a really great title. Haven't played through it. Been watching some of the reviews on it. And I think that they got a lot of criticism about the art style when it came out because they changed it up. And actually, I think that was, I could understand it, but I think it was quite a good choice. So when you look at it now, I think people will look back and go, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But it's just, they got criticized because it didn't look exactly like the originals, but it was, you know, 30 years ago. So yeah, well done to everyone who voted. Thank you very much. We'll move on to the next section, the next category. It's best new Nintendo Switch online game. Now, we pretty much have everything in the list, so I'm not going to read through them all because there's about 2 billion games in there. But there's some big ones. There's things like Banjo-Kazooie. You've got Mario Golf, Kirby 64. You've got the Mario Party games, Earthbound Beginnings as well, which was had a lot of hype around it. Space Harrier 2 and the Mega Drive, which I had the first one on the Mega Drive. Alicia Dragoon, which was a game on there too. Loads of big games, but I'm going to go over to Anton now. And yeah, what was the voting like on this one, Anton?
It was quite an interesting collection of votes that we got for this one. We had one of our biggest years ever for Nintendo Switch Online games, spanning many different consoles, the NES, NES, N64, Mega Drive. So, wide selection. And that is represented in the votes as done by our audience. So, in third place, a surprise to myself, Zero Wing on the Mega Drive.
Huh,
in second place.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
Left field, I like it.
Yeah, not a title I'm, to be honest, very familiar with, but incredible to see it's made it to third place. Second place, classic, we have Earthbound on the Super Nintendo with 25% of the vote.
A good choice.
And coming in first place, no surprise to some, maybe a surprise to others, but with 41% of the vote, The Legend of Zelda's Majora's Mask.
No, gotta stop you there. There's a game missing from that top three. Sorry, everyone is wrong. Why is Banjo-Kazooie not on that list?
I mean, I have to say, that doesn't surprise me that Majora's Mask is number one.
It doesn't surprise me it's number one, but Banjo-Kazooie not making the top three? Seriously, yeah, what's wrong?
That is. Do you know the one I went? I'm assuming that's what you went for then, Al.
Yes, I'm just assuming that everybody voted for Majora's Mask, and then it was like one person voted for Zero Wing, and one person voted for, I forgot what was the second place already. I'm too blindsided by the fact that Banjo isn't on the list. I feel aggrieved, and I'm going to storm off. Goodbye.
I actually voted for Alicia Dragoon on the Mega Drive.
Good tale.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of nostalgia because I picked up that game when it came out on the Mega Drive and I didn't know anything about it. Obviously, I was very young. And I played it and I thought, oh, I quite like this. And sure enough, it was a kind of game that I went back to every now and then. And there's a big nostalgia factor. It kind of won that. I remember on a podcast we did in a previous life, Al, that was the answer to one of our quizzes was Alicia Dragoon. Or it wasn't the answer. It was a game where we all sort of picked a retro game and we talked about it. And that was the one that I picked.
I vaguely remember listening to that, because that was back in the days before I presented anything, and I actually listened to you
and
Anton.
Yeah, it was Anton and Anton, myself, and some others on a different podcast. So that was the game, Anton, that I picked when I got my
retro.
Sorry,
I'm not here. I stormed off. I'm away.
Oh, sorry. Could you get your twin Al back to do the podcast, please? That would be wonderful. Anton, what did you go for?
Oh, for best Nintendo Switch Online game. Yeah, to be honest, I would have been... Oh, probably Majora's Mask. I just love the art style of it. It's, you know, a little kind of more emo than Ocarina of Time. It's good vibes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Never thought of it. I've never heard it described as emo before, but that's awesome. That's a great description.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
I've never also heard of something being described as emo and good vibes in the same sentence, but I kind of like that. It's kind of fun. Okay, next up was the best ongoing experience, another new category for this year, and a bunch of games. We had Fortnite, Fall Guys, Pokemon Unite, Rocket League, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course Pass, Nintendo Switch Sports, Splatoon 3, Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, Xenoblade Chronicles 3 Expansion Pass, Disney Dreamlight Valley, Apex Legends, Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel, Chocobo GP, and Nintendo Switch Online. I remember exactly what I did vote for this one, but we'll come to that in a second. First of all, Anton, give us the top three.
Indeed, this is the award category for a game that is just getting more content all the time, never stopping. And this one was very much inspired by 2021's Listener's Choice, where those sort of games felt underrepresented. So now we have a category for it. In third place, very surprising for our audience, because I know we've been a little bit harsh on this title in the past, Disney Dreamlight Valley. Controversial.
That is surprising, but I can understand it, because I mean, as much as we're not the target audience for it, I imagine there's probably a lot of love for that game if you like spending time doing, you know, kind of pass the time games. That's for the best one of the best description, and particularly one that you immerse yourself in that world of Disney. I can see the appeal, just maybe not for us, and that's fine.
Indeed. And in second place, a Nintendo staple at this point, Splatoon 3, with its seasonal content, coming out with new stuff all the time. We also saw this in the Listener's Choice in third place. It's been keeping the ball going, and in first place.
I mean, can I just say, if it's not what I think it's going to be, I'm genuinely storming off and I'm not coming back. If it's not got the words Mario and Kart in the title, I'm going to be very angry.
I guarantee that it is, but let's find out for real.
Well, the Best Ongoing Experience 2022 award goes to, with 50% of the vote, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course.
Yay!
Pass.
Yeah, I mean, it was the logical choice. It's what I voted for, because that category, Best Ongoing Experience, the fact that they've brought back more content for Mario Kart has been fantastic. The fact that the courses are really good is even better. And it's Mario Kart, so very difficult to compete with that. I'm assuming you went the same way, Al.
No, absolutely not. I voted for Apex Legends. No, of course I voted for Mario Kart 8. It was amazing. I can't believe they've reinvigorated such an old game to the point where everybody's really quite excited about it and regularly gets excited because we get new content. It's just wonderful. It's good. I enjoy it. Thanks, Nintendo.
What did you go for, Anton?
I'm entirely with you, as I think what's quite innovative of it is taking a game that many people might have just seen as an older title, and as you say, bringing it into the mainstay, Al. It is, you know, revitalizing it, and I think it's setting a trend that I hope more games follow. You know, just because a game has been done for a while, maybe that's exactly why you should do DLC for an older title, and it's been incredibly successful, so I hope this is a trend we see more of.
I imagine it'll keep Mario Kart 8 at the top of the Nintendo gaming charts, where it has pretty much been since the Switch was launched. But I've got to say, this next category is the one I think I'm most excited to see the outcome of, because I can't predict what the outcome is going to be of this one.
Yeah, well, the outcome will be a surprise because we are about to find out which game has won biggest, or not even which game, which Nintendo-related thing has won biggest surprise of the year. Now, the options were the Super Mario Bros. Movie trailer, Fire Emblem Engage, Glover, Persona 3, 4 and 5, Pikmin 4, Portal Companion Collection, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, The Rise of Indeed and GoldenEye 007.
I love The Rise of Indeed.
I mean, it took me a while to figure out what that was, and then I was like, oh, of course, it's Anton. Before we get the results, Anton, Al, what do you think has won out on the biggest surprise of the year? What do you think is number one?
I genuinely mean this. I don't know, because there were a lot of big surprises, and knowing our audience, it could go so many different directions. The Portal Companion Collection was a big surprise, and a lot of people love those games. GoldenEye is what I voted for, because I just didn't see that coming. I know a lot of people love Fire Emblem. There's been a lot of talk around Persona. I imagine you probably didn't vote for Persona, but you maybe did, given you've been talking about it since day one. I genuinely don't know. I suspect a lot of people were surprised by the Super Mario trailer because they weren't expecting it to be nearly as good as it is. I cannot call this. If I went to bookies, I would not be able to put a bet on.
All right, but pick one. You don't get away with that.
I was going to say GoldenEye because it's what I voted for.
Okay, I would say I voted for Persona because, for me personally, I'd written it off after years of wanting it to arrive. The Super Mario Bros. Movie trailer, I think, will be number one. But Anton, tell us.
Yeah, so this is a very competitive place in our award show. Former winners have been Untitled Breath of the Wild sequels, Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity, and the Animal Crossing's Happy Home Paradise expansion. And for 2022, runner-ups, we had GoldenEye in third place. And then at a very, very, very close second place, we had the Super Mario Bros. Movie
Ooh.
Trailer.
Ooh, okay.
But nevertheless, winner of Biggest Surprise of the Year 2022 is The Rise of Indeed. Good old meme answer.
Oh, I love you, audience.
Love that.
That's amazing.
Love that. Love that. Yeah, I mean, why not? Indeed. Next up.
It's going to go down in history now. That's great.
We have to get a little Indeed trophy for you. Favorite rumor of the year. And this one, I always like this one because it's you know, it's like fantasy land in a lot of ways. So, Switch 2. How long have we been talking about that? I think Switch Pros won this every single year. But Switch 2, Crash Bandicoot 5, Biomutant, Metroid Prime Trilogy, Banjo-Kazooie Comeback, Call of Duty for the Nintendo Switch, and Gex Returns. Okay, and let's find out. What do you think won this one?
Again, this is tough. If you go by history, you're going to say it's a Switch 2, because I think, as you said, it has won, I think, every award we've done so far. Everybody's always been psyched about it. I'm gonna put my money on Banjo-Kazooie. I know it didn't even make it to the top three last time, but gosh darn it, I'm gonna pluck that little back that little plucky so-and-so. That's what I'm going with, Banjo-Kazooie.
Okay, I'll go for Switch 2 because I think that's what it will be again. But anyway, Anton, top three.
Yeah, so as you say, the history of this award is very much tied up in the Switch Pro. It's won 2 years in a row. Before that, we did have Xbox Game Pass coming to Nintendo Switch. That was a fun idea to entertain for a couple years. So let's see what happened this year. In third place, we had Call of Duty for Nintendo Switch. We're now starting to see evidence. Who knows? We'll see more in the coming years. In second place, with 27% of the vote, we have the Nintendo Switch 2.
Ooh, so, it's been dethroned.
A new winner.
Indeed. Still very competitive. So, what got up into first place? What dethroned the Switch 2? With 33.3% of the vote, we have the Metroid Prime Trilogy.
Yeah, no. I think that's what I voted for, actually. And I think the reason for it was that there's been so much talk of Metroid, so the idea of getting that trilogy was a big rumor for a lot of people. And it's funny because none of those rumors this year made me kind of want to go, oh, I really want that to happen. Banjo-Kazooie maybe, and Call of Duty's kind of fun being on the Switch, and I liked them all. It's just there was not one that stood out for me really. So
I was the same. I'm going to say I struggled. Looking at the list and thinking back over the course of the year when Anton was asking me just to, you know, checklist and see if there's anything missing before we made it live, really struggled on rumours this year that hadn't kind of already come true. There were a few rumours earlier in the year, and then they've obviously been announced, and it's not really a rumour anymore. So it is a difficult category, this one. I can't really complain about the result. I think that's a perfectly justifiable outcome. It's reasonable.
Yeah, I think it's fair. What about you, Anton? Was it what you expected?
I'm very much similar to yourselves. It's, you know, the rumour mill is a little less engaging as it was in the early days, because we have gotten a lot of the really, really exciting stuff that we've always wanted. But it's funny how so many things change, how much things stay the same. You know, we're still talking about getting a new Switch. We're still talking about getting Metroid Prime. And we're still talking about Banjo-Kazooie hopefully coming home.
Yeah, I absolutely. Okay, next section, the next award category was Best Visual Aesthetic. Now, the nominations for this were Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Mario Strikers Battle League Football, Persona 5 Royal, Return to Monkey Island, Cult of the Lamb, 13, A Little to the Left, Tunic, and Wayward Strand. Al, do you remember what you voted for?
I did. I voted for Kirby because it was about the only... I've played a couple of games on the list, to be fair, but I went for Kirby because it was stunning and beautiful and unexpected from the world of Kirby. If I'm being entirely truthful, it didn't really blow anyone's socks off. It was a good enough looking game, and it was very much sort of a HAL Labs sort of Nintendo almost first party quality. It was really, really good. But there wasn't anything that really stood out, because 13, when it came out, it was okay. It was different, but not as good as the old one. Tunic was beautiful, but it wasn't breaking any doors. There was nothing that stood out as this is the best one. I suspect if I had to put my money down it on something, I'm going to suspect Return to Monkey Island has probably won it. But I'm not confident in that.
Yeah, interesting. I actually think, weirdly, even though it's an older title, I think Persona 5 Royal might have a good chance at that one, because it is visually very good. And I think I might have voted for that, although Kirby and the Forgotten Land would have been up there for me as well. Return to Monkey Island has got that look about it. 13 could have won it, but they kind of messed up the release, in my opinion. So yeah, I'll go with Persona on this one. Anton, give us the results.
Yeah, so what game will go up in the art gallery? Right next up to former winners, we've had Link's Awakening, Paper Mario and the Origami King, and Eastward in previous years. This year, in third place, we had, as mentioned by yourself, Mike, Persona 5 Royale with 16% of the vote. In second place, like you suggested, Al, Kirby in the Forgotten Land with 22% of the vote. So, curveball for ourselves. In first place, winner of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast Best Visual Aesthetic 2022 is Tunic.
Not a big surprise. It was a pretty game. It wasn't unique, or at least I didn't think it was unique. I thought it looked nice enough, but it looked like quite a few things in the past. But I can understand how it's gotten to first place, particularly because it was a much-loved game too.
Yeah. And there were a lot of really nice visual games. I mean, there was nothing for me again that was like earth-shattering, but they were all pretty well done. And certainly, I think it's a worthy winner of the category. Next category was Best Narrative. And our nominations were Xenoblade Chronicles 3, Persona 5, New Tales from the Borderlands, Harvestella, Bayonetta 3, Live Alive, It Takes Two, and Return to Monkey Island. Al, I'm going to say that you didn't know what to vote for this, because I don't think you've played any of these games.
Correct. That makes that category really hard to vote in, but I think I ended up voting for New Tales of the Borderland, just based on what I'd heard about, you know, basically Borderland games always being very good, and they do have really good stories. But there were so many in there that have come out that people have waxed lyrical about. I know people love Live Alive. I know people loved It Takes Two. Monkey Island's obviously got a following. There's just, it's a great category. It's a really difficult one to vote in, because you need to devote a lot of time playing a lot of very long games to really get a firm grasp. I'm fascinated to see what listeners have actually voted for here.
It's funny, because there's a few of those games that I've played or played other versions. So Xenoblade Chronicles 2 I've played a bit of, and I know the narrative is good in that. So I suspect 3 everyone thinks is better. I think that might win it. Persona 5, I've played Persona 4 Golden. I love that, and I know Persona 5's narrative is excellent. Live Alive I've got, and I've played a bit of, and I thought it was fascinating again. I think it was Xenoblade Chronicles that might have won this one, but we'll find out. Anton, what were the results?
Indeed, this is always a quite a fun one to look at, because it's always gotten the most universal consensus of all the kind of categories that we have in our awards, and this year is kind of unlike many of those. Previous winners include Link's Awakening, Age of Calamity, and Shimigami Tensei V. For 2022, in third place, we have Xenoblade Chronicles 3, the Nintendo Epic, on a large scale. Second place, Return to Monkey Island. And the winner for Best Narrative 2022 is Alive Alive.
Interesting. I think that is what I voted for in the end, I think. I think that's what I went for, but that's very interesting. I mean, I have to say, what's really cool about that game is that there are many storylines all separate, and I think that's really cool. And as well as that, it's got a really unique way of doing it, and it's an older game, but it still stands up in terms of it's been remastered and remade. So yeah, worthy winner, I think. Next up is Best Audio and Music Award, and the nominations are Xenoblade Chronicles 3, Persona 5 Royal, The Artful Escape, We Are OFK, Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope, Taiko no Tatsujin Rhythm Festival, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Sonic Frontiers, and Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. My thoughts on this, you've got the rhythm game, but I don't think it'll be that. It might be. I think Persona 5 Royal's audio is excellent. Xenoblade's is usually very good. Kirby, I thought, was really good. And I think I might have gone for that this time around. What did you go for, Al?
I think I voted for Kirby. I have a sneaky suspicion that We Are OFK should probably win it, just because it was full of, I'm going to call it interesting music. It was an interesting premise, but I don't think enough people will have played it for it to have had many, if any, nominations. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, I've not played them, but I've played enough Pokemon games to know that the music is mostly the same. I'm not really holding my breath. So I'm going to say many people possibly voted for Kirby for the same reason that I did, and you probably did, Mike, just because the music was really good in it.
It was. It was good. Anton, what happened?
Yes, lovely to hear your logic in play. Former winners of Best Music include Cadence of Hyrule, Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity, and Grand Theft Auto, the Trilogy, the Definitive Edition. That one was mainly due to you, Al, I believe.
Probably just voting over and over and over again, because, you know, it has the best soundtrack.
It's killer. For 2023, in third place, we have Sonic Frontiers. I won't lie, I agree with that.
You mashed that button, didn't you?
Yeah, I mashed that button. Second place, we have Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Competing a lot, but not quite winning Best Music. In first place, we have, for Best Music 2022, Kirby and the Forgotten Land with 29% of the vote.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I can see why. It's a different take on a Kirby game. It's the music is really good. And
it's an interesting spread as well. It's a relatively low proportion for it to win. It just shows there's a lot of variety in what people liked in that category.
Yeah, I think this next category, or the next two categories, they might be my favourites. So next up, we've got the Better With Friends Award. And the nominations were Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Mario Strikers Battle League, Nintendo Switch Sports, Splatoon 3, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, Kirby's Dream Buffet, Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, Overwatch 2, Temtem, It Takes Two, and Fall Guys. Now, I think I went for Shredder's Revenge on this one. I think that's where I've confused myself earlier on. And the reason I said that was because it was one of the games that Al and I played in 2022 and finished, and was thoroughly enjoyable, and felt that you could easily just have fun playing that anytime. Easy pick up and play, and a bit of nostalgia. Al, what did you go for?
I went for exactly the same thing, for pretty much exactly the same reason, although I do want to give a big nod to It Takes Two. I ruled out Fall Guys, because it's one you can't play together. It's a sucky game to play together. It's online. You're playing with tons of other people, so you're kind of playing it together in that regard. But I want to play with my friend, easily, couch co-op, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, slashing our way through a bunch of bad guys. Life is good. It doesn't get better than that. And if it doesn't win, well, to be fair, I can't get too angry about it, but it's what I voted for.
Intriguing. Yeah, I do love the Better With Friends Award, because I feel like out of all the categories as part of this show, it's the one I think all three of us have the most authority on. You know, this is...
What did you vote for, Anton, out of interest?
Oh, I think I was also Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Love, and you know, that's somebody that wasn't a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fans, but let's see how it got on in the awards for 2022. So in third place, we had Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. That must be for that co-op experience, and did get to watch a lot of gameplay co-op. Looked great. Second place, despite your objections, Al, Fall Guys comes in at second place.
Not a big surprise.
Yeah, it is a cultural phenomenon. And in first place for the Better of Friends Awards 2022, it's 2006 because it's Nintendo Switch Sports.
Oh, no way. That's funny.
Really?
I mean, I have Nintendo Switch Sports, and it was fine. It was good. It wasn't any different, really. Do you know what I mean? It felt like 2006 in a lot of ways. They could have put a bit more effort in, I think. But, you know.
I can see why they could win up there. If I've not played it. I've had no exposure to it whatsoever. But I have fond memories of playing Wii Sports. And that I can see that if you're playing with your family or your friends, you're having a whole barrel of laughs. Sure, I think that's a reasonable winner.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the next one is maybe my favourite category overall. I'm not sure. It's certainly up there with Better With Friends Award. We've got three more to go, and the next one on the list is the most anticipated game, because I always get excited about a rumour. So, the nominations for our awards were Fire Emblem Engage, Pikmin 4, The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, Minecraft Legends, Oxenfree 2 Lost Signals, Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, Hogwarts Legacy, Metroid Prime 4, Kirby's Return to Dreamland Deluxe, Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp, Project Zero Mask of the Lunar Eclipse, Octopath Traveler 2, Theatre Rhythm Final Bar Line, Curse of the Sea Rats, Crisis Core Final Fantasy 7 Reunion, Persona 4 Golden, Persona 3 Portable, and GoldenEye 007. Al, what did you go for?
In all honesty, I can't remember. I remember swithering between GoldenEye 007 and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, just because, you know, it's going to say it that way.
Every time.
I honestly don't know what I ended up picking, because I think I probably went with Zelda because I've played GoldenEye before, and as much as I love it, I do like a new experience, and I think that's probably what I went with. I would be surprised if Zelda doesn't win it, because I think Zelda has pretty much won it every single year. So yeah, why won't it win this year?
That's what I would think will win it. I think the ones on there that really interested me, Oxenfree 2, Oxenfree, the first game, is very good. Hogwarts Legacy, I'm interested to see how that runs on the Switch more than anything, just to see what they do with that. Kirby's Return to Dreamland Deluxe, because I'm kind of Kirby obsessed. I don't think it'll win it, but it's exciting. And then, of course, Persona 4 and 3 and GoldenEye as well. So there's a lot of games in there that are exciting. But Anton, what did you go for? What did you vote for in this one?
Oh, I was a Tears of the Kingdom stan on this one. And
okay, I suspect most people were, but let's get the results.
Well, let's jump in. As you have mentioned, Untitled Breath of the Wild sequel, as we've previously known it, has won three times in a row, every single year. But let's have a look at how it got on this year. Every year, it has came closer and closer between first and second place. Last year, it only won by a slim margin. Let's see how we get on. So, in third place, we have Pikmin 4 with 11% of the vote. In the fabled second place, we have Fire Emblem Engage, fresh take on the classic franchise, which leaves, to no surprise, in first place with 61% of the vote, The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. It was bound to happen.
It's a behemoth. Yeah. That was an inevitability. You could pretty much have gambled your entire estate on that and been sure of a win.
Yeah. No, it was the most obvious one, I think, of the lot tonight. But, you know, definitely a worthy winner. And next up in our second last category, we have Best Indie Game. Now, nominations were Ooblets, A Little to the Left, Cult of the Lamb, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, Ollie Ollie World, Wayward Strand, Neon White, Tunic, Curse to Golf, Nobody Saves the World, Shovel Knight Dig, Temtem, The Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe, Rogue Legacy 2, Citizen Sleeper, Baron Breakfast, Inscription, No Man's Sky, and Return to Monkey Island. I suspect Anton went for Rogue Legacy 2. Would be my suspicion.
Oh, what makes you think that? Just about you played it all year.
I suspect Al probably went for Turtles, but I might be wrong.
Yes, but that's not what's going to win it.
No, it's not what's going to win it. I think I went for Return to Monkey Island, but I have a feeling it might be Ooblets that wins this one, you know. But
you think?
Anyway.
I think it's going to be Tunic.
Or Tunic. Tunic or Ooblets. Ooblets, Tunic. What strange names. Anyway, Anton, it's time for you to reveal the top three.
All right. So in previous years for Best Indie Game, we've had great titles like Untitled Goose Game, Hades, and Unpacking. for 2022, in third place, we had Bear and Breakfast, despite its late release on Nintendo Switch, still very much loved. In second place, we do have our listener's choice game, Return to Monkey Island, making its grand return, which leaves in first place, as you suggested, Al, we have Tunic, Best Indie Game 2022.
Way, well deserved. Good job.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that brings us on to the final category. It's the big one. It's the Game of the Year Award. Before I read through the nominations, Anton, what's our previous winners been?
Yeah, so we've had quite an interesting mix. It's definitely representative, I think, of our audience more so than our playstyles in particular. In 2019, we had Pokemon Sword and Shield. In 2020, we had the pandemic special Animal Crossing New Horizons. And in 2021, we had the post-pandemic depression game Metroid Dread, because it's all a little bit sadder. And this year, we've got quite an interesting mix.
All right, well, let me read through the nominations. We've got Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope, Pokemon Legends Arceus, Bayonetta 3, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Splatoon 3, Sonic Frontiers, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, Harvestella, Nintendo Switch Sports, Mario Strikers Battle League, Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, New Tales from the Borderlands, Fire Emblem Warriors 3 Hopes, Triangle Strategy, Marvel's Midnight Suns, Persona 5 Royal, It Takes Two, No Man's Sky, Resident Evil Village Cloud, Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, Temtem, and Cult of the Lamb. I think I voted for Kirby and the Forgotten Land because I think it had the most impact on me in the year. My guess for the winner, oh, it's such a tough one, this one. I have a feeling Bayonetta 3 has a chance because it's been very well reviewed. Xenoblade might be there. Fire Emblem. I don't know what's going to be Game of the Year. Al, what's your take?
Well, like you, I voted for Kirby because it was an amazing game. But again, I don't think it's going to win. And it's a tough one. There's such good representation in there. There's some wonderful games. But I'm just going to base my guess on the general level of reaction we got on our Discord over the year. And I'm going to suggest tentatively, I think Pokemon Legends Arceus might have got Game of the Year choice from listeners. But I really don't know. It's too hard to call this one.
Interesting indeed. So, rolling in for third place for Game of the Year 2022, we have Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Interesting.
Worthy. Worthy.
In second place for Game of the Year 2022, we have Splatoon 3.
Ooh, interesting. That's the first time it's actually popped up on, I think, any chart, isn't it? So far, it's chart. In awards, it's been on the list,
right.
I don't think it's actually got nominated before. That's a surprise one.
And first place for the Nintendo Switch UK podcast Game of the Year 2022, we have the only game all three of us have played, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, with 43% of the vote.
Oh, I love that. I think that is a worthy winner because Persona 5 was up there for me, but it's not a new game. And I think that was my reasoning there. I was like, yeah, I think Persona 5 is an epic title, but I couldn't give it to that because Kirby feels so Nintendo and it's so nice to have a new game from a big Nintendo IP. So I think it's a worthy winner. It was a great game. I think we all played it, which is great.
I think it was fantastic. I loved that game so much. It was just, the whole time I was playing it, it made me think Mario Odyssey. It's the first game since Odyssey that's made me feel that way. Just, it was so polished and just played so beautifully that nothing else really comes close. First party Nintendo / HAL, who, let's face it, are pretty much Nintendo, they can just do these things better than
Luigi's Mansion. I think Luigi's Mansion
was great,
there.
But it was different. It was a different kind of game, different feeling.
Oh, yeah,
game.
It's much
this,
more linear
this
and much
felt
more, yeah.
Just Mario Galaxy. It had that level and feel and beautifulness.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree.
Exceptional title. And I think what it's done really, really well is take, you know, people that aren't platforming fans, people that aren't Kirby fans, and get them playing a platforming Kirby game, evolving a classic franchise, but keeping the existing fans happy. I've seen nobody diss this game because it's just been done to such a high level of polish.
Yeah, it really has. And there we go. That concludes our 2022 Nintendo Switch UK Podcast Awards, which is very exciting. And it means that Season 5 is nearly upon us, which is extremely exciting. And we'll have some news about that very soon. As well as that, if you do want to come and join us and be a Patreon for our next season, then you can go and find out more about us at nsukp.co.uk. And then it's /support-us to get all the details about signing up. And I'm extremely excited for Season 5. Anton, what about you?
Indeed. You know, it's just, it's part of the routine. You know, I love breathing. I love doing the podcast. I would not want to breathe in the same way. I would never want to stop doing the podcast. And yeah, having these great chats.
Nah, I'm not interested. Not excited. Please give up.
Oh, saves us sacking him, Anton, doesn't it?
We haven't paid him enough. We need to get the agents involved.
I mean, honestly.
Add another zero.
We'll happily add another zero and another one and another one and another one.
You can add as many zeros to zero as you like. It's still zero.
Absolutely. It's still zero. That's it for another show and our fourth Nintendo Switch UK Podcast Awards. Season 5 just around the corner. Until then, we'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Au revoir.